You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. WPTF Talk Radio, we are disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts. And our podcast, available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. And we've got yet another great show for you today, folks. Brian Lewis of New Frame Lobbying Firm, noted commentator and host of the podcast, Do Politics Better, is back with us to talk about what he's learned talking to North Carolina's movers and shakers over the years, as well as his take on how the state's election races are playing out. But first, as always, ladies and gentlemen, here at AARP Without Limits, we always begin with a little casual chat with my partner in crime, the esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, my friend, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you too, Mike. How are you doing?
I am doing well, trying to bear with the heat for sure. It's been, I have to say, Jason, I missed you, man. It's been, the summer's been a lot of things, but it's, I've been missing my usual weekly dosage of Jason Kong. I've been, between you were out, I was out, vacation. I was in D.C. for a week. We had July 4th week, which was a short week, interrupting our normal pre-recording of this program. And now here we are back together, but separated by glass. And it's like I'm not getting the full Jason.
For your safety and for Brian's safety, they've put me in another room for the next 20 or so minutes.
I have to say, Jason, after we're in the air conditioning, so we're not, I think we're spared of some of the dangers that are out there today. I have to say, Jason, and I'm mentioning this to you, I know everyone's going on and on about the weather and the heat wave. We are having a very hot summer for sure. You're a Florida boy, though, and I'm interested in hearing your take here, man. I mean, you grew up sweating, I'm sure, down there in Orlando. What's your take? How are you dealing with this?
I think in my old age, I've just gotten soft, Mike. You know, I used to be able to tolerate this no problem, but it's not that way anymore. You know, my Florida ways have left me, unfortunately.
Interesting. I thought you'd have a thick skin, and this would just be like, what are y'all complaining about here?
I used to
walk 5 miles to school in 99% degree humidity and blah, blah, blah.
I blame it on radio. You know, we're just in a nice air-conditioned studio all day, so now I've gotten soft.
I have to say, it is very comfortable in here. They keep the air really nice here in WPTF. We got our swivel chairs. I mean, what else can we be asking for? That's right. I have to ask, Jason, is there any time, though, when you do remember you being really uncomfortable with the heat? Not, say, down in Florida growing up?
The worst heat by far that I've ever experienced was in Guam. My wife and her family, they're from Guam, and I went to visit a few years back. And, central AC is very much a luxury there. It's, especially if you're not on the military base there. But, that was some heat. I've never experienced anything like that before.
You know, when you go without air conditioning, that's the common linkage between all stories about being hot and miserable, right? there was no AC there. I got one to share with you, Jason. Many years ago, going back mid-90s, me and my buddies are doing a little road trip of sorts, right? We got a 10, 15-year-old Dodge van, right? And now, remember, back in the mid-90s, if you had a vehicle that was 10 or 15 years old, it's not like now where things are like, built really well and all that and very reliable. Back then, it was very common to see cars broken down on the side of the road, right? So you're doing a road trip, five dudes in a 15-year-old van going across the country, right? So what do you think this thing's going to do in the summer? Well, number one, it didn't have air conditioning, right? It's got cool. Like, that was the setting. It was hot or cool on the thermostat. And then to top things off, in this Dodge van, it was overheating.
Oh, man.
And one of the old tricks with the older vehicles, I don't know if you can still do this now, but one of the old tricks with the old vehicles was, if you had running a little hot, well, just turn the heat on. It'll take the heat right off the engine block. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So imagine this. Now, remember, this is a Dodge van, so the motor is partially inside the cab with you, had one of those covers on it. So it gets, when the engine's overheating, you're feeling it, right? So here we are, middle of July. Guess where we are, Jason? We're in Death Valley. In the middle of the day with the heat on. Okay? So just imagine that. We're stripped down to our shorts. whoever was driving, we were taking turns, you had to switch feet when you were driving because the pedal that was close to where the motor was so hot that your leg would burn up against it. So it was quite an experience. It is one of those types of things where we're dealing with it. We're like, oh my God, this is hell. This is what hell feels like. But looking back at it many years later, look at that. Here we are, you know, listening to our large audience telling them this story many years later, laughing about it, right?
That's a great story.
Yeah, it is. Now, unfortunately, and we're making light of this here, folks. The fact is, of course, heat and being without air conditioning is a really serious thing. And we are hearing stories, unfortunately, whenever there's a major heat wave, you see national news about people. Unfortunately, it tends to be people who are older, maybe shut in, low income, maybe didn't have money to be able to pay their utility bill that month and they were shut off. Or, you know, air conditioning breaks, right? I mean, overload or power outage, you know, the number of reasons things happen. I had a meeting with a volunteer yesterday who actually shared his AC broke down during the heat wave from last week. And, you know, running multiple fans in the house. If you're listening, folks, you do need to know that there are programs that are out there. There is assistance available. You know, of course, there's the Federal Light Heat Program, low income home energy assistance program, been around for many years. You can also call your utility company, you know, and make arrangements with them if you're having issues paying your bill. When you have this type of weather, you do not want to be messing around with that. And you want to reach out for some. Find out what your options are. And then if you can't remember any of that, always remember these three numbers, folks. 211. Our friends at United Way, we always love to plug this program. NC211 is a program that's available. If you have a question about what services are available in the state or in your area related to utilities or caregiving or even fraud now. They're working with the Attorney General's office and the Secretary of State's office on fraud. Call 211 on your phone and you'll be connected with somebody to be able to tell you what, you know, where to go for help, what programs are available to you, how you can get the help that you need. Very, very important to do that. So going a little bit over time here, Jason, we got to get to our guest, return guest here, Brian Lewis, managing partner of the Raleigh-based lobbying firm New Frame. He's a political commentator, and he's also host of one of my favorite podcasts, and I'm saying that honestly, Brian, not just because you're right here, Do Politics Better. He's back here in the studio. Brian, great to have you with us. Welcome back.
Mike, it's great to be here. Great to be with you, Jason. Thank you.
And as I mentioned when I saw you in the lobby, you're looking very summery, white polo shirt, dealing with the heat all right?
Yeah, I'm dealing with it. The General Assembly is not in session. They're out until, well, they'll be in tomorrow, then they're taking another month-long break, but I don't have to wear a suit.
It's a great feeling, right?
It's a great feeling. No jacket, no tie. I'm kind of going summery today.
Oh, good for you, my friend. Good, always good to see that. Now, for those who are listening, didn't catch the first show with you, don't know what Do Politics Better is, tell us a little bit about it. What got you started to do the podcast, and what's the focus of it?
Yeah, so we started the podcast right after COVID. We're going into 2020, 2021, and we wanted to have a podcast that features legislators. One week we'll have a Republican, the next week we have a Democrat, and we just talk to them in a normal way about who they are, what makes them tick. We did not, Mike, want a show that had them arguing about politics. We mm-hmm. didn't want to bring on two guests and say, all right, you guys duke it out over this issue or that issue. We really wanted to get to know them, who they are, their story, what brought them to this point in North Carolina politics where they're actually serving in the General Assembly.
And I have to say, that's something that's really makes it a pleasant listen because they got all this noise around us out there, and there's plenty of people fighting, right? Yeah. Plenty of that. Yeah. But these are human beings who've got families and who've got a commitment. And, you know, sometimes they're very interesting stories about how they have stumbled into getting into politics and serving the people of North Carolina. You've had a wide range of guests, and you've covered a lot of ground with your show. Give us a bit of a rundown. What are some of the most notable, in your mind, the most notable guests that you've had to date?
I'll tell you, one was Representative Jimmy Dixon. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Dixon is a longtime legislator. I think he's in his late 70s, early 80s. He comes up to us one day in the building. He says, hey, you ever had a farmer on your podcast? And he's like, Representative Dixon, or do you listen to the podcast? He said, does a cat have a butt? And I said, Well, yeah, he does. And we had him on, Mike. He tells this story of the 1930s, 40s, when his mother went to Wilmington for the weekend, got pregnant, came back, had him 9 months later, does not know who his father is. Now, this is a man who is deeply religious, deeply conservative, holds very traditional family values, and I didn't know that this is where he came from in Duplin County. It was so eye-opening. I thought, this guy is living a perfect life, farmer, well-to-do, statesman in the General Assembly, but he unfolds this story, Mike, and Sky and I, my co-host, Sky David, we're just sitting there going, did he just tell us what he just told us? Through tears, he tells us this story. So many like that, Mike.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. The experience with that, and with this, I mean, I haven't listened to all the shows. You've got some guests that are there right with you and others you've done via Zoom, right?
Mostly, we do them all live.
They're all live?
We made a decision that if we're going to talk to you and have an intimate conversation, we need to look right at each other just like you and I are.
That's excellent. Jason, we got to take some notes here from Brian, more than one in this way here. That's awesome. You know, we got to get to a commercial break here in a second. I'm really interested in digging in a little bit deeper with this, but I'm so glad we started on this note because it's all about the personal stories, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to even advocacy work, you know, you've got numbers and charts and statistics. Yeah, that's all fine. That's sterile. You've got real human beings, and likewise, those people who are making the decisions that affect our lives and what life is like here in North Carolina, they have their own personal stories too. I'm really interested in digging a little bit deeper because it is fascinating to know where people have come from and where they're going to be going with us. You are listening to ARP Without Limits. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Brian Lewis. We'll be back after this break. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. AARP Without Limits at AARP.org. We've been speaking today with Brian Lewis. He's with New Frame, which is a Raleigh-based lobbying firm. He's a political commentator and host of one of my favorite podcasts, Do Politics Better. Brian, we were just talking about how personal stories are something you're gleaming from this experience of running your podcast. You've been engaged in North Carolina politics for a long time, and you've had this experience now the last few years of doing this show. Have there been any significant moments or revelations that have caught you off guard as you're talking to folks? Like, you're like, man, I've been working in, you know, I'm familiar with North Carolina politics. I feel like I'm pretty confident in your understanding of it. And then you realize, wow, I didn't know that. Have you run into any of that? And what were they?
I have. You know, and a lot of it has to do with the Jimmy Dixon story that I just told you. I learn what motivates legislators to work on certain legislation based on their history. Mm-hmm. Senator Vicki Sawyer comes on the show years ago, and I knew she was really into doing something around child marriage. She wanted to do some modifications to our law and kind of strengthen the law. And she comes on the podcast and tells this story about growing up in a home that had violence in it, that had, I take it that she did not have a good childhood growing up. And she talked about not having resources. And it really helped me connect, you know, why she works on this legislation. Or, you know, former Senator Jim Perry talking about how he never met his dad. His dad died when he was 2 months old. Talking to legislators who've lost children. You know, it's one of those things. It's Michael Lazar lost his son. Senator Brent Jackson lost his son. Incredible loss. And then you look at the legislation they work on and you make the connection. Mm. And, you know, Mike, I've had, if there's a criticism of the show, and I've had a couple, one journalist in particular said, you know, you don't really ask hard questions and we don't really know where they stand on the issue. And I told this journalist, I said, actually, the questions we ask, I think, help you understand why they have the positions they do. You know, we really do need to talk more. And I think if the podcast has any theme, it is that we just need to talk about who we are, why we do what we do, and maybe have some understanding of why this person's a Democrat, this person's a Republican, why this person thinks about this on this particular bill.
That's so, so important. And, you know, like we said earlier, there are plenty of other podcasts and shows and the cable news stuff. Their job is to, you know, rouse people up and hear right. the talking points back and forth. And you're like, you know, you're focusing on these human beings.
Right.
And that loss, losing a child, yeah. I could never, I mean, to me, yeah. that's the worst possible thing, right, I could go through. And I couldn't, would not even imagine what that would affect me, like, you know, beyond that. How do you use that to make life better or the world a little bit better? On this show, Brian, we've had a wide range of guests, ranging from liberal Democrats to conservative leaders. We've had Speaker Moore on. We've had Deb Ross on, you know, in the same month. The media and the pundits tell us the political environment is hypersensitive, yet I always tend to be struck by how nonpartisan or bipartisan they can be when the mics aren't running. What's your read on partisanship in North Carolina generally?
I think partisanship sells a lot of newspapers and ads. I think that if you look below the surface, if you really dig deep, you will find deep and abiding relationships between Republicans and Democrats. I mean, let's take Senator Mike Woodard and Senator Bill Rabin, a liberal Durham Democrat and a conservative Republican from Brunswick County who get along famously, who go out and have drinks together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the paper doesn't cover that because, you know, a unanimous vote just isn't as exciting as a 25-25 vote with a tie-breaking vote in committee. You know, it's, look, does partisanship exist? It exists a lot on the internet. You know, if you're getting your news just from the internet, I would encourage listeners to find some balance to that. Go out and, you know, talk to legislators. Send them a message on Facebook and say, hey, you know, I see your page here. Can we talk a little bit more about what you believe? I think that's where the good stuff is.
Mm. Now, Brian, we couldn't have you on during an election year without asking you about the election. At the time of this recording, we're about 2 weeks past the big debate.
Yeah.
And at this moment, Biden is still in the race. With that as the backdrop, let's begin with the governor's race. What's your assessment about how that race is shaping up?
The assessment for me is that Josh Stein, from all campaign finance reports I've seen, seems to have a 4-to-1 edge on Robinson on fundraising. I hear he's going to stretch that out to 8-to-1. But there's this Biden factor that's going on. I've heard from some Democrats who said that they're really concerned about the drag on the ticket
right.
that Biden could have. I mean, let's just say Biden stays and even Biden wins. I think everyone can agree there's not a lot of enthusiasm for Biden. But on the flip side, Democrats are also telling me Republicans aren't very excited about their nominee, President Trump. So I think a lot of folks are bracing for what does that top of the ticket do to the gubernatorial ticket.
And the gubernatorial ticket is, probably the most watched governor's race in the country right now.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to ask you about, we've got what I think is a great AG race, right? You've got two really charismatic current members of Congress. And there, I personally was expecting there to be a few more sparks between the two of them. What's your take on how that's going? Are you surprised at how it's been relatively low key compared to, say, you know, the Mark Robinson
Josh Stein.
Josh Stein, race.
So many candidates out there. Yes, I am, but I also am reminded that we are still in July, and usually campaigns don't heat up until around the end of the summer. I'm surprised. We should probably think about the gubernatorial race. Gosh, we're already seeing ads. But Dan Bishop and Jeff Jackson, you know, they also serve together in the North Carolina Senate. These are people who definitely know each other, very qualified for this job, very different on policy issues. In fact, I'd say this, Mike. It's actually refreshing to have two guys that are so qualified to do this.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that sets them apart are their different views on policy. I can't say that for every race we're in 2024. These guys are two heavyweights. And go listen to that debate Tim Boyum did.
Yeah.
I think he has it on his podcast. It was a policy debate, a true policy debate. And if you like policy, that's the race to watch.
And it's interesting how that's played out in that way, because you have what I think superficially people could look at and say, all right, you got Jackson, who's, you know, the TikTok guy, right? Been really good at that. And then you had Bishop, who back during the Speaker House debate, you know, with mm-hmm. Kevin McCarthy and all that, he was making the rounds on cable news, and he really showcased himself as a remarkable media talent, right?
Yeah.
And so you've got, and then both of them very strong opinions, policy positions. But yeah, when they get together, though, it really got into policy.
Iron sharpens iron. And that's what we're seeing here. I mean, we're seeing two guys that have their own style, but they're both very substantive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I'm not sure in all the races. I'm talking about presidential here, and this is my opinion. I don't know that we nominated two of the best people from mm-hmm. those parties, Republican and Democrat. But I'd say for this AG's race, yeah, you got two guys. You're lucky voters. All mm-hmm. you have to do is pick the one that agrees with you the most about how you feel about policy. You have nothing to worry about their qualifications.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, yeah. Their resumes are equally impressive, yeah. and the skill sets and their understanding of the issues it puts us in a good position with that race. The last minute we've got here, Brian, getting back to your podcast, you and Sky, by the way, you guys got great chemistry.
Oh, thanks.
Aside from continued great chemistry with the two from the two of you, what can we expect from the podcast moving forward?
You can expect a lot about behind the scenes of the 2024 election. So this week, actually, we're kicking off with Anderson Clayton. She's the chair of the North Carolina Democratic Party. We have her come on, talk about her perspective. We have an invitation out to the Republican chair for next week. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to campaign managers, their viewpoint, media specialists within campaigns. So in addition to hearing from Republican and Democratic legislators, we want to take our listeners inside on the political side as well.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad I got you saved in my podcasting yeah. on my iPhone, buddy. I'm looking, always good to see those updates coming in when you get when the new episodes are posted. Lastly, how can people follow you on social media?
We're on New Frame Inc. on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can find us on any podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get podcasts, you can listen to us. And we're on LinkedIn and Instagram. So just look for New Frame Inc.
Wonderful. So glad we had you today. Thanks for coming in, Brian.
Thank you for having me.
That is a wrap, folks. I want to thank Brian Lewis for being here with us. I want to thank Jason Kong for production. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll see you next time.